Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the moves to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I am joined in once again by Steven Debo Deaton. What's up, Steven? How are you, man?
What's going on? Good, man. What's going on with you? How are you doing?
Doing good, dude. I know that we just talked before the episode just for a minute, and life's been kind of crazy, man. We had the Super Bowl, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yep, two weeks ago now.
It seems like I'm having a hard time kind of trying to remember what happened, you know? And
it doesn't take long to kind of pull it back to memory and talk about it a little bit and talk about where these guys are. We just kind of wanted to, you know, not be so fresh on everybody's minds.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like now that everybody's done talking about it, we're just gonna come in and give the correct.
We're gonna come in and give them another shot at this.
Another one. And so, man, I know, like we said, me and you talked about it just a minute ago, man, life's been crazy. I know that you get wrapped up your basketball season as a high school basketball coach and then immediately became an assistant coach for baseball, right?
Straight into assistant coach for baseball. So it's been a hectic year. It's going to continue to be a hectic year, and it'll be a hectic summer. And before you know it, football will be back this fall. I'm not a football coach. Thank goodness. I can just sit back and enjoy some football, but basketball will be right back around the corner in October. So it's never ending.
All you have to do is just wait till August and then you can breathe a little bit, you know?
Yeah, just breathe in August just for a split second.
So. That's exactly right, man. Hey, so Steve, let's just go ahead and jump into this, man. What we'll do is we're going to break down, basically have a Super Bowl review. We're going to talk about what the game was like, what we remember of it, the stats, how the game kind of played out. And then actually talk about some dynasty rankings with some of these players that played in the Super Bowl. And then we'll hit a little bit on your underdog segment, do a recap of that. And then after that, we'll kind of give the listeners an idea of what to look forward to over the summer with just this podcast and things like that. And so without further ado, Steven, let's talk about the Super Bowl, man. Man, Super Bowl 57. Going into this game, it was one of the games where I was looking forward to the most, one of the Super Bowls where I was the most excited about. And to be honest with you, I think it lived up to its hype. We had one, I don't know, I guess you could say controversial flag towards the end. And I think
it wasn't controversial.
Oh, I agree 100%. It was just bad timing for a lot of people.
Not controversial at all.
Oh, I know, so,
it wasn't controversial.
I saw many, many takes, though, after that to where if you watch the game, you know, I think Philadelphia was up by, 10 going into halftime. Mm-hmm. I thought Jalen Hurts played fantastic besides the one mistake that we'll talk about here shortly. But going into halftime, I still kind of knew that Kansas City's a second-half team. You know, like they're when they play from behind, they can score in 15 seconds. We talked about that last episode. Mm-hmm. And then it came down to the last little bit of the game, and it looked like – that we could end up having a potential game-winning drive from the Eagles or an overtime game or something like that. And then, sure enough, I think it was Bradberry who held Juju. And, I mean, there's no way around it. It for sure happened.
Happened twice.
Yeah, you know. And so, with it, I think at the end of the day, what you had was that a lot of people had their hopes crushed. But then again, I think that should not overshadow how good the game actually was. You know, this is one of the best Super Bowls we've had in a long, long time.
Very good.
And so Kansas City actually came out on top 38-35. It was a fantastic game. Jalen Hurts had a little noodle arm there at the end of the game, which I think don't really want to talk. Man, you know, like it wasn't even close, dude. Like
I saw so many videos and stuff on the internet of just like, you know, Jalen Hurts' last play. And it's just be some funny stuff, man. Just,
the funniest one that I saw was the guy from, what was it? It's not The Replacements. It's the movie with Paul Crewe. I can't think of it, but it's got the one dude that throws the ball and he messes up. And then he's like, oh, man, I was eating popcorn chicken before I threw it. And so, But anyways, yeah, I think it was a fantastic game. Kind of recapping some of the player stats, Steven, I thought what would be cool is if we talk about the stats of each player, talk about how they played in this game. And then after we get done with each position here, after we cover it, we'll kind of talk about where we view these players at in our dynasty rankings. Yep. And so, Steven, you handle the quarterback class. Let's go from that, man.
Okay, man. Well, let's just talk about Patrick Mahomes for a minute. 182 yards, not a lot of yards, but did have three touchdowns in this game. You know, we all know what Patrick Mahomes is and what he can do. He's very special. He's a very, very special player. And just to me, on my end, for Patrick Mahomes, I've got him as QB1. I know Josh Allen had jumped up into that ranking, and, man, everybody was just so on Josh Allen early this year, and myself included. I love the guy. But they just kind of fell off a little bit. And I'm not saying he's not up there, because he's definitely still up there somewhere. But I've got Patrick Mahomes has jumped back in this QB1 spot for me, BJ.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you, Steven. And, man, I just like the fact that Patrick Mahomes, even though he may not have just tons of great weapons around him, can still produce the overall QB1 numbers the entire season long. Yep. And so with that, man, a player that can actually go out and change the team around him and make them better, I think he deserves to be the dynasty QB1.
Yeah, I think so too. And again, just the things that he's able to do with Andy Reid, the things he's done already, man, his legacy's pretty much cemented, and he's 27 years old. So
it's crazy.
You know, it's an insane thing to think about. But he's my dynasty QB1. All right, moving on to Jalen Hurts. He did have 304 passing yards. He slung it everywhere. He had one passing touchdown, an amazing play to AJB, which we'll talk about in a minute. 15 carries for 70 yards also with three touchdowns on the ground, man. You know, obviously he did have the fumble that was really bad. You know, if you break down the nuts and bolts of the game and the timing of that and what was going on, the Eagles were rolling. They were going down the field at will. Like I said, 304 passing yards for him. He had 70 rushing yards. They were just clicking, man, and he was thinking, man, the Chiefs might be in trouble here. And all of a sudden, he just basically drops the ball, and it was picked up and returned for a touchdown. And to me, that was the turning point in the game. It took the momentum from the Eagles, yep. Gave the Chiefs life, gave them some momentum, and that one play by Jalen cost them the game. It was a terrible, it was a terrible play. You can't do that right there. You just got to be more secure with the football, and he knows that, and I'm sure he does. I mean, he's an NFL player; he knows that. But you got to see it. You know, got to see it through. But as far as Jalen Hurts and his QB ranking as a dynasty quarterback, I've got him top six, I think.
Who's your five ahead of him?
Okay, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
Joe Burrow.
Yep.
And I'm on the fence if I got Herbert in front of him. Okay,
so that put him top five. Who's your other one?
Herbert or Lamar's still up there. It's really hard. I mean, I think I've got him ahead of Lamar, just to be honest. I think he's ahead of Lamar, so I think I'll put him five. I think I got him five.
Man, I'll be honest with you, Steven. That's exactly where I got him at, man. I've got him right ahead of Lamar, got him honestly right behind Herbert. And then my own personal rankings, I probably got Joey B right there at number three. But to be honest with you, man, just talking about Jalen Hurts' performance real quick, just like what you said, Steven, I think he came out and he balled out in the opportunity that he had. And I do agree that fumble return for a touchdown was the shift that Kansas City needed. And, man, kudos to them for winning that game. But as far as Jalen's performance, I thought it was one of the best games of his career. I will say this, though. Dude, that quarterback sneak with Philadelphia is almost unstoppable.
Well, they better enjoy it while they can, because that line won't be together forever. I mean,
not only that, man, but I guarantee you they're about to come out and, like, overrule that you can even do that in an NFL game.
I don't know. Like, push from behind?
Yeah, like, something's going to have to give to where, you know, they don't like the fact that it's, like, a 10 or a 9 out of 10 chance that they're going to get that first down every time.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. But I'm just saying, I know the line's great. Jalen's great. He's good at it. I mean, it is what it is, but whatever. I mean, for me, he's up there. He has jumped, you know, again, the top five. There's some guys that are knocking on his door. I'll say that because there's some good quarterbacks behind him too, you know, that could, with a few good games next year and him a couple of bad ones, that they'll jump him. I mean, they just will. So,
like, I could very easily see Lamar and T. Law jump him in a heartbeat.
I mean, you got Lamar, you got T. Law, you got Fields, you got, you know, Tua, even if he comes back healthy and slinging it around everywhere again. You know, people have their own opinions about Kyler Murray, but Kyler Murray's a dynamic player. And if he comes out slinging it next year, healthy with a new coach, new system, who knows how far he can jump back up there. Don't forget about Justin Fields either, man. So, you know, there's some guys that have potential to, you know, supplant him if he doesn't continue to do what he's doing. And I'm not saying he's not going to. He's just got to. So,
yeah, agreed 100%, man. So moving into the running back position, I don't really think there's too much to talk about here. And so for the running backs over on the Kansas City side, you got Isaiah Pacheco, who ended up having 76 yards and a touchdown. I thought Pacheco played really well in this game. It was a weird game to where Patrick Mahomes' passing yards wasn't a ton, and then they actually kind of ran Pacheco a little bit there towards the end. And so I thought he had a decent game, though. As far as my dynasty rankings go, I don't know, man. I got him outside my top 24, I'll tell you that. And to be honest with you, he's probably even back further than that. It's hard to trust a running back that was drafted so late. And I've seen a lot of mock drafts already talking about rookies in the upcoming class. And they're saying that there is a slight chance that Kansas City goes out and gets a running back. And so with it, I don't put too much faith in him right now. I mean, if you got him, I think he's a hold. But, I mean, yeah, it is what it is.
Man, I kind of agree with you on Pacheco. I do agree with you. I if you have him, you better sell him while you can. That's kind of my thoughts on him. I've got him RB4. I mean, you know, maybe back end RB3, but I've got him RB4. I've got him right in the territory of, you know, you're like a Michael Carter, you know, like a Devin Singletary, just guys that are just guys. They're just a guy. He's just a guy. He's not going to be the guy. He's just a guy. I don't know. I just can't trust it. I can't trust anything the Chiefs do with running backs right now. And I just think, like you, there's a small chance, slight chance they draft somebody. People say what they want about CEH, but he'll be back next year. He'll be back, and he'll be playing. Maybe not to the level that we all thought he might could have, but he'll be playing. And that means Pacheco is going to take another step back if he's still doing anything with Kansas City Chiefs. RB3, RB4, you know, way outside of the top 24, like you said, probably maybe even outside of the top 36. Who knows? Definitely back into that 36 if he gets in it.
Yeah, you know, they're just going to draft Jahmyr Gibbs, and it's just going to be nice and dandy there next year.
It's not
nice. So the next running back, Miles Sanders, man. What's crazy in this game was that Kenneth Gainwell actually outpaced Miles Sanders as far as fantasy production goes. Sanders finished the game with 7 carries for 16 yards. I think the real question we have to ask ourselves here, Steven, is not just as far as dynasty rankings with Miles Sanders, but do you think Miles Sanders plays for the Eagles in the upcoming season? Because I'll be honest with you, I think they could replace him in a heartbeat.
I don't think he plays for the Philadelphia Eagles unless he's franchise tagged, which, you know, don't think they're going to do that either. So, you know, as far as where he's ranked, I think he's a great running back. I do. I think he's always – since he's been in the league, I think he's been underutilized in Philadelphia. I put him in like the Joe Mixon territory as far as his talent, as far as what he can do, somewhere around there, you know, as far as talent. But man, he's just always been underutilized. And, you know, he's only 25. I know the running back shelf lives are lower than receivers, but still only 25. So maybe 2 or 3 years left as far as, you know, some top production if he can get a nice landing spot. He's just going to have to be utilized. I've got him inside my top 24, probably inside around the 20 to 22 range, 18 to 22, 18 to 22, somewhere right around in there. I think I'd feel okay about taking him in that area there.
I got you. I probably got him around like 28, 30, if I'm honest with you. Just because for me, like with a free agent class, it's not just a fantastic free agent class, but I need to see him get a starting gig before I move him up anymore. I do agree with you though. I think he was underutilized, and I'll be honest with you, he reminds me of Aaron Jones in that Green Bay Packers offense a couple of years ago. Not the Aaron Jones that we're seeing the past 2 or 3 years, but the Aaron Jones whenever every single year under Mike McCarthy, we would be like, why are you not feeding him the ball? Right. And so I see very similar vibes here. I've watched, I've seen a lot of mock drafts that say that the Eagles could very easily go after a Bijan or someone else. Now, will they spend the draft capital to go get a running back when there's obviously other voids to fill? I mean, you just gave up 38 points to Kansas City, so I'm sure your defense needs some help there as well.
Right, right.
And so, man, who knows what's going to be in the offseason? I just know with those two running backs there, if I've got them as my – man, fringe RB1, RB2 on my team, then mm-hmm. I'm not happy about it, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah, I want something a little bit more secure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Steven.
I definitely agree with you. No, I was just saying I agree with you. I think you need a little bit more comfort there and security, and that's why I've got him. I've got him at that back end RB2 spot, but it's going to be, you know, dependent on landing spot, like you said.
Absolutely. So,
yeah, all right, let's move on to the wide receivers here. We got three wide receivers we're actually going to talk about here. We'll talk about Juju Smith-Schuster, my guy, Juju, my Twitter fam, TikTok fam, posting 12 TikToks to 3 touchdowns, Juju Smith-Schuster. 7 catches, 53 yards. Also was the receiver that actually made a fantastic move and was probably going to score had he not been held on that, you know, one of those last plays of the game there that really sealed the deal. 7 catches, 53 yards, had a fantastic year, really, in that offense with Patrick Mahomes. As far as where I have him ranked, BJ, I've got him as a solid wide receiver 3, you know, somewhere around the 30, probably 32 to 36 mark for me, somewhere right in there.
Yeah, I don't think it's terrible at all. I know Juju is entering free agency this year. I don't think he ends up coming back to Kansas City, if I'm honest with you. I think Kansas City probably goes out and gets a wide receiver in the draft. But with it, man, I think Juju goes somewhere, and I think he's going to end up being a solid wide receiver 2 for the team wherever he goes. Yeah. And so with it, I do agree. I think, you know, that 36 to 40 range probably. And so, I mean, with it, I think he did good for what he was given this year. I mean, obviously, when he got signed to Kansas City, we all thought that he could be just fantastic. You know, right. Like, yeah. I know, like, we had high hopes for him.
Well, but, I mean, I don't know how fantastic we thought he was going to be. We always knew Travis Kelce was the guy.
So
you knew he was behind Kelce regardless. I mean, look, he finished the regular season with 78 catches, 933 yards. I mean, he almost broke 1,000 yards. He almost had 80 catches. I mean, he really had a pretty great season for first year there. So,
yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. I think with it, if you've got him as a wide receiver, honestly, if you got him as a flex play in your dynasty league, then you're just hoping he goes to a good situation and, you know, just kind of go from there.
Yeah. All right, moving on. AJB, 6 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. He's still ringless, still no ring, according to Juju. But 6 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Made a really fantastic catch. He's just an athlete, man. He's just a pure athlete out there, a pure football player playing football. This is interesting here. Where are we going to have AJB? I want to let you go first, BJ. I've went first every time.
I got him at 4. And the only reason that I have him at 4 is because I really like CeeDee Lamb. And so if I'm honest with you, as far as just pure talent goes, he should probably be at 3, especially with Kellen Moore ended up going to the Chargers. I think the offense over in Dallas probably takes a step back. But as of right now, I still got CD at 3 and AJB at 4.
I don't hate it. I can't lie. I don't hate it. Just kind of taking a peek at these rankings here and my personal rankings, I think I've got him 3. I think he's listed at 3 in a lot of rankings, and that's my personal ranking too on him is 3. I love CeeDee Lamb too, but I think A.J. Brown, until CeeDee Lamb can really show me that alphaness that we need, that we kind of see from A.J. Brown at times, I'm going to have A.J. Brown over him. CeeDee's still 2 years younger than A.J. Brown, still got some time to grow there for CeeDee Lamb. And he could surpass him this year. And he likely could with AJ Brown probably going to be 26 in a year. So, you know, they start falling a little bit when the age comes up. But right now, AJ Brown, I've got him 3rd. I was so worried about him when he went to the Eagles. You know, I think we all were. We were like, man, what's he going to do? How's he going to be? He's got Jalen Hurts. I don't think Jalen Hurts can throw the ball. And then all of a sudden, A.J. Brown has just really, really surpassed probably what we even thought he could do this year. It seemed like every game, fantastic catch after fantastic catch. He finished the season with 88 catches, 1,500 yards, and 11 touchdowns. I mean, insane numbers for a wide receiver in his first year with his new quarterback. So I've got him at wide receiver 3.
Yeah, man. I don't hate it at all either, though. Yeah. And I could see 100% where somebody would have him at 3 and CD at 4.
Yeah. Moving on here, last receiver we're going to talk about, Devontae Smith. My guy, Devontae Smith. Your guy, Devontae Smith. 7 catches, 100 yards. Man, just makes play after play after play. And again, just like A.J. Brown, I think they complement each other so well in that offense. Like, I think that they are so good for each other. And Devontae Smith gets foreshadowed by A.J. Brown. But, man, don't you hate on Devontae Smith, BJ. I'm going to go ahead and give you what my thoughts on Devontae Smith before you jump on this with me. I've got Devontae Smith at about 10, BJ.
Okay. All right, so let's break this down a little bit, Steven. If we're going top 10 here, right? I know our top 4 are probably the same. I know you've got Chase, Jefferson, not in that order. AJB, CD. Who's your next little bit there?
Okay, so let's just go. Yeah, Jefferson, Chase, AJB, CD. My next bit there is going to be.
Just give me a tier.
Well, you got, you know, there's the Jalen Waddle. You got, I think, Tyreek Hill probably in the top 10 still. DK Metcalf maybe in my top 10. I'm not. I know we've talked about this at the end of the pod too. At the end of the season about our guy Amon-Ra.
You're still out on him, right?
I still don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it with my own two eyes. I just don't know how much I love it. So I'm not in on Garrett Wilson. He's just not top 10 material for me.
You got T. Higgins up there?
I guess. I mean, he's there. Yeah, I mean, I love the guy. You know, he's up there. He's right in that tier, right? I mean, in this tier that we're talking about, 5 through 10. Mm-hmm. You know, and then and again, like, and I say Devontae at 10, and I put him there, but it's a tier of, like, you know, you know Devontae Smith, Olave, and I don't know, like, these older guys, Cup, Diggs, Debo, they're falling because of age, because of just different things. Cup's injury, 29 years old, they're falling down this list. Mm-hmm. Like, I have Devontae Smith over all of those older guys, all of them. Mm-hmm. Except for Reek. Reek's 28. But he's the youngest of Diggs, Cup, and Devontae Adams. I mean, that's kind of where I've got him, because you got all those guys that are kind of filling that void up there. And like I said, it's a couple of these guys that are in the top 10 in a lot of rankings, like Garrett Wilson's in the top 10, I believe, in most. St. Brown's in the top 10 of most. I've probably got them bumped down, probably in that 12 range, 12 to 14. Or 11, you know, 11, 12, 13, 14, whatever, all the old heads, again, I've got them bumped down, and so that allows me to bump up Devontae Smith. It allows me to bump up Olave, you know, right into that, you know, 10, you know, 9, 10 range.
I've got him wide receiver 11, 12.
There we go.
I'm honest with you. And the reason being, man, is because you got a Heisman winner here, man. And not
People
only
sleep
that,
on him, man, they're sleeping on him. I'm sleeping.
Not
on
only
him.
That, but you look at what he done this past season. The first half of the season, he was mediocre at best. You know, not just having crazy games, any of that. But man, about halfway through the season, Devontae Smith turned it on, and I saw play after play after play to where it makes the haters who said stuff about his size re-question their whole stance. And I think he is a fantastic route runner, but my biggest plus, and I think the biggest pro to his game, is his point of catch, to where You know, there was talks years back about Mike Williams and how Mike Williams would high target the ball, fall on his back, all that kind of stuff. Dude, if you look at Devontae Smith's catches this year, he was killing it to where Jalen Hurts would just throw the deep ball and Devontae was there. Even if it was double coverage, dude was still making a play on the ball. And so for me, if I'm completely honest with you, if I've got Devontae Smith as a wide receiver one on my team, I'm okay with it. I'm not panicking. I'm perfectly fine riding it out because I think for the next, I think the offense together, Jalen Hurts, AJB, and Devontae Smith are going to be together for possibly the next three, four years, depending on the contract situations and stuff. But with it, man, if you tell me that Devontae Smith is in this offense with AJB for 3 years plus, and on top of that, you have Jalen Hurts, who hopefully they get a contract extension already in the books, hopefully pretty soon, then I'm in on them. Personally,
yeah, I completely agree with you. You just said it. I mean, I just told you I had him at 10. You backed me up at 11, 12. I mean, we act like we know what we're talking about here. I mean, I think,
yeah, who knows, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, look, again, we pull these stats up again: 95 catches, 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns. I mean, those numbers are those are good numbers. I mean, especially in your PPR leagues. Where did he finish PPR, BJ? Do you know?
I can look it up real quick. Hang on.
Yeah, let's look it up. But yeah, I mean those numbers again, going with an alpha like AJ Brown. I mean, to have those numbers with another alpha on your team. I mean, just think of what he could be. You know, I mean, and again, I know they complement each other. I'm not saying that he's just leaps and bounds. You know, better than AJ or whatnot, because I don't think he is, but I think he's right there with AJ. I really do. I think he's in that, you know, he's right up there with him. Of course, I'd take an AJ over him, but I've got him up there. Where you got him at?
Wide receiver 25 on the year.
On PPR?
In PPR league. And with it, the second half of the season from week 13 on, he finishes wide receiver 11, wide receiver 16, 17, 3, 9, and 22. I'll be honest with you, Steven. I like this take so much, man. And I mean, you're in this league, so I think I can bring it up. In our Yellowstone league that you commissioned, I actually down tiered from AJB to Devontae Smith to pick up a better running back going from Pacheco to Najee. And so with it was a move to where I felt like the difference. Like, I know there was a 300 yard difference and in fantasy points, there was probably a decent amount between AJB and Devontae Smith, but I felt like the difference going forward is not that big of a gap. I still think that AJB deserves to be top three, top four in dynasty rankings. Yeah. And I do think Devontae is top 12. But as far as fantasy production going forward, I don't think that they're that far apart.
No, they're not. And I've said this for a while. I mean, I've had arguments with different people about Devontae Smith and where he should be in relationship to AJ Brown. And I think he's right there with him. I agree with you.
All right, moving into the tight end section. You've got the GOAT, Travis Kelce. 6 receptions, 81 yards, and a touchdown. Steven, I thought that Kelce played fantastic this game. He didn't really have to do much because it didn't seem like that offense was hardly ever on the field. But I think Travis Kelce, as far as if we're talking dynasty perspective, I think he's got to be up there, man. I don't think he's one or two for me, but I still think that he's solid in that top five. And to be honest with you, he's probably around 3-4. I know I still have Mark Andrews ahead of him, as much as I hate it. And the only reason I'm saying this is consensus, but I still got Kyle Pitts ahead of him. Kyle Pitts has to have a good quarterback at some point.
Get out of here.
Oh, man, I know. But
in this podcast, it's over. Throw us into the garbage.
I know. But so I got that. And then also, I'll be honest with you, I think Kelce's right there with Hockenson, to where I think Kelce's ahead of him, but I got Hock at 4. And so, I mean, I'm okay having Kelce in my top 3, top 4, if I'm honest with you. So, I know you got him at 1. You got him at 1, right?
I mean, who doesn't? I mean,
I can't do it, man. He's like 50 years old.
Bruh, he's tight end 1 until he dies. 110 catches this year. 110.
I
BJ,
know, man.
How many of your league percentages is it tight end premium?
Like 15, 20%.
So you don't have any tight end premium leagues?
I'm in two or three.
Okay. So I'm in most of mine are tight end premium. So, or two tight end, but tight end premium, 110 catches.
Oh, yeah. He scored more than Superflex quarterbacks did.
1,350 yards, 12 touchdowns. Get out of here with your Kyle Pitts garbage.
All right. So, like,
Kyle Pitts ain't going to have those numbers
for another 10 years.
The next 3 years combined. Get out of here. It's Kelsey one all the way.
So, Kelsey one, Andrews two.
Kelsey one, Andrews two, Hockenson three, Goddard four, Pitts five.
Okay, Steven. All right. You got Kittle after Pitts and all that?
I could see a world where I put Kittle at five and not Pitts, but I mean, I'm not a Pitts guy. Kittle's great, but man, all his production comes in like one game,
agree, yeah.
And so it's just hard to bank on him. He did finish the year well with Brock Purdy, and I think Brock Purdy's going to be the quarterback to own in San Francisco. But he did finish the year well with Purdy. So there's a little chemistry there. So that'll be nice to see if, again, like I said, I think Purdy will have that job, barring injury or any kind of setback with that injury. But it was nice to see Kittle finish the year well.
Yeah, I agree. So you brought up another name real quick, Dallas Goedert. I thought Goddard showed out in the Super Bowl, man. I really
He's
did.
Great.
That one catch that he had on the sideline was mm-hmm. fantastic that they Absolutely. Reviewed, said he caught. He went 6 for 60. So you already said you got him tied in four.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, I got him five right behind Hockenson.
Yep.
And
yep.
the only reason is because I really like Hockenson. I think him going to the Vikings helped him tremendously. And I think going forward, he's going to end up being the second target on the team.
Yeah, he
and
is.
That's the only reason that I have him above Goddard, because Goddard is the third target, in all honest opinion, in my perspective. And so that's just kind of how I see it. But I do agree, man, if you got either one, Travis Kelce or Dallas Goedert in your dynasty league, then you're happy with it. You're ecstatic with the production that you've been getting, especially if you're in a tight end premium league. Steve, that's one thing, man, I noticed me and using one league together on Sleeper, which you hate, but with it, when I looked at the leaders in overall points, and Travis Kelce was right up there with Mahomes. Like, I think they were actually 1 and 2 in the particular league format in tight end premium.
Bruh, I know.
And he's a game changer,
Yeah, so, tight end one. If you're in a startup right now, and you don't take Travis Kelce tight end one, you're not doing it right.
In all honesty, let's take the top three there. You got Pitts, Andrews, and Kelce.
Pitts is not in the top three.
I know, but consensus. Let's just say that.
He had 28 catches for 350 yards and 2 touchdowns this year, bro.
Okay, but just listen.
That was like tight end 40 this year.
So cons to it, though, is Pitts' con is that he hasn't produced yet, doesn't have a quarterback. I think we can agree on that.
That's two pretty big cons there, BJ.
It hasn't
produced yet.
It doesn't
have a quarterback.
Oh, I'm not arguing with you. I agree with you on that aspect. So, but then you've got Andrews, who isn't for sure that Lamar is going to be back throwing on the ball. Could very easily have a worse quarterback situation. But then again, Andrews is about the only good player that's in the
receiving court. Could also have a better quarterback situation.
Oh, who are you banking on there?
As far as throwing the ball. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying.
Okay, you heard it here first. Steven says that Aaron Rodgers is going to Baltimore.
If Aaron Rodgers goes to Baltimore, Mark Andrews might be dead because Rodgers hates tight ends.
Oh, man. Okay, so but then you got Kelce. The only knock on Kelce is his age. I mean, you can't say nothing about his production.
That's the only knock. You're right. It's the only knock.
That's interesting.
He's tight end one, BJ. Jeez, I can't even believe it.
All right,
on Twitter, we're gonna poll it out. We're gonna poll it out, Twitter. We're gonna poll this out this week from go ahead and plug the Twitter, BJ.
Okay, do it at LOL Dynasty Pod. We will post it We'll post it on My Fantasy League.
We'll put it out and we'll say who is your tight end, Dynasty tight end one, and we'll put those three
on there. Okay, deal.
Or three. Yeah, we can go three. We'll do three. Yeah, because, Andrews, Oh God, I can't believe I'm saying this. Pitts is not even the question. You just put Andrews, Pitts, and Kelsey, I guess. I mean, geez.
I'm cool with that.
My brain hurts.
We'll come up with a wager off air on this.
All right, sounds good.
All right, Steve, let's recap some of your.
Speaking of wagers, let's segment into our Super Bowl underdog section. And BJ, I had five picks that I did here, and we just kind of went with them together. You didn't really do any, and you just kind of agreed with all these that we talked about. But I had five picks on underdog, and I did insure these this week. With insurance, you can obviously hit four and still win some money just a little bit. So Dallas Goedert over 46.5 receiving yards, I hit with 60 receiving yards. Travis Kelce under 7.5 receptions was a hit with 6 receptions. Jalen Hurts over 31.5 passing attempts was a hit with 38 passing attempts. Devontae Smith over 64.5 receiving yards was a hit with 100 receiving yards. And my last one out of five, Isaiah Pacheco, under 49.5 rushing yards, was a miss because he rushed for 76 yards in the Super Bowl. So I missed it by one, but I did have insurance, so I did win just a little bit of money. It was a nice little underdog week. Nice. When you do a big five-player slip, I'll just be honest with you, it's worth it to do the insurance because it's just so hard to hit those five. And if you hit four of the five, you still can win just a little bit of money. So it's definitely worth it. You don't win quite as much if all five hit as you would if you didn't do the insurance, but it's still a nice little hit.
That's pretty cool. I actually didn't know that about underdog.
Yep.
So segueing into the very end of this, listeners, we just want to take this time and thank y'all, man. We want to thank y'all for the support and just the listens that y'all give us on a weekly or bi-weekly or tri-weekly, however often we record. But just want to thank y'all for the listens that y'all give us, man. We really appreciate it. And we're going to try to keep producing good quality content over the next couple of weeks, over the off season. I'm sure that we'll be doing some rookie mock drafts in this, talking about some prospects and things like that. Looking forward to it. And so I want to take this time as well and thank our friends over at Jab Step NBA and Basketball Podcast. Our friend Ben Cassidy and Jonathan over there talk all things basketball. They actually just had a two-part episode where they covered a 3-on-3 basketball tournament that our church and myself threw, and then covered the NBA All-Star game and a couple more things as well. And so y'all go check them out, give them a follow on all social medias too. Speaking of social media, give us a follow over on the Legacy of Legends Twitter page at LOL Dynasty Pod. You can follow Steven at SDeaton24 and myself at AfroDynamics116. Steven, let's finish this thing off right, man. Let's talk about some final fantasy advice.
Yeah, man, the final fantasy advice we got this week is the combine's coming up, guys, and we should keep our eyes on the combine. You know, there'll be some young guys in there looking to make their mark and really open some eyes for, you know, us as dynasty football managers trying to grab that next third round Alvin Kamara or whatever you're looking for. It'll be interesting to watch. I enjoy watching those things, man. It's really fun to watch some of it. I don't dive just too deep into it, but I do watch a good bit of it, especially with your skill players. So just keep your eyes on the combine this week. I think that's going to be fun to watch.
Absolutely, guys. And one advice that I would give you as well that Steven actually has mentioned in a previous podcast is during the offseason stuff, man, don't get to the point to where you're so overwhelmed trying to make moves in all of your leagues and you just don't really have a downtime. But instead, one good piece of advice is take it week by week, take it league by league. Man, focus in on one league, make some moves in it over the week, and then take you a little break and then focus on another league the next week. Yep, it's a long offseason, man. Try to accumulate some assets, try to liquidate your players and things like that. But we hope that y'all have a fantastic offseason. Give yourself a little bit of time to rest and then get back at it. So we appreciate you guys and hope that y'all have a good one.